Send a movie idea.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at the Dream Factory, they're so simple. I don't really know why we're still explaining them after episode 300. We can discuss as many of the film ideas you send in as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where we'll be presented as Exhibit A in Georgia, as the despotic lunatic who runs this podcast is finally brought to justice. I'm Joel, a man who puts the care into cowering, scared co-host, and across from me is John Harris, a man who runs this podcast with not one, but two iron fists. Hello, John.
Hello, Joel.
Hello, brave leader.
I could definitely do it. I could do a Trump back in the day, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Do you know what? For my sins, I don't really think I've heard a lot of Trump recently, which is lovely.
Yeah.
He was definitely a real daily mainstay. You'd be like,
he's still pretty big news.
You'd be like, there'll be some sort of tragedy happening. And then Trump, they'll be like, now we go to America for a statement. And he'd be like, this would never happen in my country. And you just.
That's pretty good.
You know?
I liked the hand gesture that you did with it. Do you not download Trump's own social media platform? That's probably why you're not hearing too much from him.
I think it's called Truth Social. I believe so.
That's what I do first thing every morning. Brew the coffee, open up Truth Social. Sometimes, 4 hours scrolling on that, I'm ready to go.
Sometimes I'll close Truth Social and then I'll open it up again and realize that I've literally just closed it. That's how addicted I am to Truth Social.
No, it's crazy. I'm such a Truth Social addict. You don't want to see my screen time statistics on my iPhone. It's like 2 seconds texting mum, 3 seconds looking at Twitter, 23 hours and the rest of the seconds looking at Truth Social. So thank you for tearing me away from Truth Social. I mean, I have got it open in the background. I'll be checking it intermittently.
We are at Dream Factory Pod on Truth Social as well.
Well, the thing about me, John, is I have to be in touch with the truth at all times. So I will have it running in the background just so that I know there's some truth somewhere on my laptop or my phone. I've always got access to the truth. Anyway, we're not here to promote Truth Social, but if you do go to truthsocial.com/Dream Factory, you will get 20% off your first month of premium truth. But we're here to pitch film ideas. Here's one from Dan, the Bread Poets Society. Dylan Thomas, Sylvia Plath, William Carlos Williams, and E.E. Cummings trying to come up with a really good rhyme for pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel.
Trump is fickle.
Trump is fickle. That's good. We are spitting truths.
Hello. The Bread Poet Society. It's nice. It's kind of like a sort of Great British. It's like Celebrity Great British Bake Off. But although no, you probably wouldn't want to do Celebrity Great British Bake Off with Sylvia Plath because she did famously kill herself with her head in the oven.
Wow.
That would be a disaster on Bake Off, wouldn't it?
I mean, I've heard that it's
I know that James Acaster had a meltdown on there, yeah. But I don't think he popped his head in the oven at any point.
Not that I know. Joel, you're the English student. Is there any other sort of, can you think of anyone, a poet who, is there anything in their work that would suggest they might be good at cooking?
They might be good at cooking.
The war poets, probably not. They're on rations.
They're dealing with scraps. They're dealing with pretty pretty mangy bread.
Do you know
pretty
who'd,
maggoty bread out there.
Do you know who'd make an amazing.
The guy, the plums.
Plums.
The famous plum poem.
The plum poem. Joel.
I think that actually might be William Carlos Williams. You know the plums? Sorry about the plums. The plums. No. Stop making me say plums.
Look, my knowledge is like tiger, tiger, burning bright in the oven.
I think during the daytime, I know it's a nightclub at night, but I think during the daytime, Tiger Tiger does do sort of small plates food. I think you can get a bowl of chips in a Tiger Tiger.
I mean, this shows my level. The first person I thought who'd do an amazing cake would be Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss would be good. Yeah. There is... William Carlos Williams was mentioned in the description by Dan. And his famous poem is all about the plums.
Okay.
He says, sorry, I ate the plums.
A little like upside down plum tart or something.
Do you like plums?
Do you know what? A plum is something... This is good stuff. This is what the listeners come here for. Plum chat. Tweet us in if you've had a plum recently. It's something that you just don't pick up. But whenever I have a plum, I think that was lovely.
Do you want to hear something incredibly wholesome?
Go for it.
At the weekend, I walked my family dog through the country and I plucked a little apricot off a tree and I ate it straight away.
And was
what
it nice?
Think about that? It was delicious. Oh. It was a little bit sharp. And what was quite magical about it is that each bite tasted like a different stone fruit. Like, sometimes I thought I was eating a nectarine, but it was definitely an apricot. I know. Pretty crazy experience, actually. It was quite trippy. Yeah, I felt sort of like I was in the Famous Five or something like that. No distractions, no mobile phone. I was just walking through an orchard and I plucked a little apricot, took a bite of that and sort of skipped down the lane.
You know, this is years ago. We talked about animal PR and I think we came to the conclusion like rats have bad PR, mice have very good PR, right? Mm-hmm. I think in the world of fruit... Peaches have got incredible PR and the humble nectarine has got terrible PR, considering I would say they're superior.
I think the peach might be the worst of all the stone fruits.
Wow.
Eating a peach is so sloppy.
Yeah.
Even, like, there's no sort of stage at which a peach isn't going to explode all over your chin and your hands. You have to, when I eat a fruit, I don't want to have to think about having kitchen roll or some sort of, or like standing over a sink. We've all stood over a sink and eaten a peach.
Yeah.
It's not very dignified.
So I would obviously give a shout out to the mango. I think the mango is a very sloppy stone fruit and not really a stone fruit.
Yeah, true.
But a pear can be a real mess if it's at the right stage of ripeness.
It can, but you know, I like my pears.
Don't say it.
To sort of...
Don't say it. Rock hard.
I like them hard.
No. Yeah. Like an apple.
I like my pears to be like apples, yeah.
No, crikey.
I actually like the majority of my fruit on that end of sour.
Can I just say that the Dream Factory podcast does not endorse these fruit opinions, so don't come for us as a whole. Come for Joel.
I think now I'm sort of thinking more about the story I told. I do think I stole an apricot from a farmer.
I didn't want to say it. You don't see apricot trees.
I'm pretty sure it's
trees.
There's a blurred line because there is some... Look, I ate a few wild blackberries. Now, there is no dispute. No one is claiming ownership of those blackberries. They're on a little brambly hedge. Then there is an area where there's sort of unclaimed cherry trees. It sounds a bit like my parents live in some sort of magical land.
Narnia.
Yeah. It's just sort of in Medway. There's some unclaimed cherry trees. And actually, I was chatting to my stepmom about this. No one knows who the cherry trees are, but the cherries always disappear every year. She's not sure whether it's very early risers who are just so on top of when cherries are ripe or if it's a flock of birds that swoop in. Mm. Anyway, blackberries, fair game. Cherries, who knows? And then, yeah, fair enough. Maybe shortly after that, I was just walking through a farm and I ate an apricot off a farmer's tree.
What about that pint of milk you got?
That's kind of...
Talk about that.
Yeah, I got a pint. That's just scrumping. And then I drive home scrumping. And then I scrumped a tractor. And I drove that home. It's just scrumping. The second you're on a farm, it's scrumping. There's no theft. Scrumped myself a lovely shotgun.
It's like Grand Theft Auto out in Medway. And Joel's there going, I'm just being a cheeky scrumper.
It was grand scrumping. I was just... You know, there's different laws out there in the fields, John. It's all scrumping. Any crime committed in a village like that is just a harsher or lesser form of scrumping.
They've got like a thermometer of scrumping.
Yeah.
And the death penalty is for the worst level of scrumping.
That's serious scrumping right there. Yeah.
Would you like a film idea from me via
I would actually.
Alex. Yeah. This one comes from Alex. Would. Heart of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Gal Gadot does a Netflix film with former WWE wrestler What's Not to Love?
Stone Fruit Steve Austin.
Oh, here he goes back.
It's James and the Giant Peach remake. But with wrestlers.
One interesting thing that I think the elephant in the room from the suggestion is that it's worth noting that Alex has suggested a Netflix film with Gal Gadot, which is interesting when I think it's worth noting that Alex has been in a Netflix film with Gal Gadot.
Oh, yes.
He was in Red Notice.
I know about this. Now I know who the Alex is.
Yes.
That is so exciting.
He wishes you a happy birthday, Joe.
Oh, thanks, Alex. It was my birthday when he sent that, and that's very kind. Yeah, he has been. So is he just trying to, is he using Dream Factory to try and generate some work?
Hey, I don't, I look.
It's pretty good.
Don't hate the hustle, right?
Absolutely not. No, I am. We'll put Alex's details in the show notes for all of the casting agents that listen to this. That's where they get a lot of. There's quite a lot of guys over in Hollywood who listen. There's not a lot of people that listen to this show. It's like, you know, the Sex Pistols gig.
Mm.
They say there were like 100 people at that gig in the Manchester
Arena.
Yeah. Well, there was like the Manchester Town Hall, whatever it was. There were like 100 people there, but all of them went on to be in influential bands.
Yeah.
There's only 10 people that listen to the Dream Factory. But all of them are Hollywood execs.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where they get all of their ideas. So that's why we keep making it.
To go back to that thing, yeah. So there's like the sort of British music scene for the like almost 15 years that follow that Sex Pistols gig. It felt like someone involved in it was in that room at the time.
Yeah.
Some of them are lying, aren't they? There's definitely at least one or
of
two
Of course
people
some of them
going,
are lying. Yeah, yeah. I think famously, like more people have claimed to be at that gig than were at that gig. It's pretty good stuff. I wonder what our foundational gig was. Do you think everyone that came to one of the old podcast live shows we did has now got on to make the biggest podcast in the world?
I know it for a fact. So don't even...
Sarah Caney was in the room.
Yeah. My Dad Wrote a Porno guys.
The My Dad Wrote a Porno guys were in there as well. Yeah. It was a powerful room.
It was crazy. Right. What about this? Wait, no. So wrestlers acting, The Rock has made a big buck.
Yeah.
Cena's doing great. What why can't we have Stone Cold Steve Austin in Hollywood?
I think we've tried.
Have we?
I think we've tried.
There's a weird thing.
I reckon he's got a much longer IMDb than you. Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's going to have an IMDb that's going to shake you to the core. Okay.
There's a weird thing. WWE have like a film production company, and so they make sort of low budget action films with their stars anyway. So I don't know if Steve Austin's been in a couple of those. Oh
well, you'll be glad Batista's to hear that he's going to play Batista's probably the best one. You'll be glad to hear that Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to play Mad Dog in the movie The War Cons, which is currently in pre-production.
Sorry, the walk-ons.
As if they're walking on.
Oh, I thought it was like as in they were like con men for war, which I think is a better idea for a film. That's my Dream Factory pitch this week.
It is. I will say it's a little bit difficult to find Stone Cold Steve Austin's acting credits in amongst his appearances in WWE video games and every TV show ever made. He was in Deadly Target.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which we all remember very well. He was in a film called The Package. He was in Grown Ups 2.
Okay.
He was in a film. These are good stuff, man. He was in a film called Maximum Conviction.
Oh, we all remember that one.
He was in Tactical Force, Born to Fight, Recoil, Hunt to Kill.
Hunt to Kill.
The Expendables. That might have been when they were really trying to get him into the mainstream. So they really gave it a good go, man. You know, he was in an episode of Dilbert. They really tried to make this guy a household name.
What do you think happens in Maximum Conviction? It's just a man who really believes in something.
He's playing a hard-bitten lawyer in a courtroom. I think it's all one-room courtroom drama.
I would love that. His like southern drawl sort of as a lawyer would work perfectly.
Yeah, Stone Cold Case.
Oh, here we go.
That's pretty good. Hey, how about this film idea from Martin? Howard's End, the indubitably true account of how the singer left Take That.
So he's one of the ones who has left Take That, for the record.
Yeah. Something Howard. No, Howard something. Jason Orange. What's Howard called?
Howard,
I don't know this.
I honestly, I've just seen it and I would not have been able to guess this ever. Donald.
What? Yes, we know that.
Nope.
We know that. Howard Donald, Jason Orange, Robbie Williams, Gary Barlow, and the one I have a story about. The little man.
Mark.
The little, Mark.
From Take That. Mark from Take That.
Mark Owen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's your story about Mark Owen? I'm sure you've told it before.
I mean, who hasn't? If you've got a Mark Owen story, you're telling it soon after meeting someone, aren't you? It's a pretty good story, actually, John. It's very early on to when I started doing student radio, which is how we met about a decade ago. And one of the first things I did before I'd even really done a radio show was I was asked to go and interview a band in London. And the band were Neon Trees, who we all remember and we're big fans of. And they had music out in the years 2014.
They 15. Do the theme tune to the show, actually.
They do. They do. We've stayed good friends since the interview. Little side note to that. I went and interviewed them. And when I came out of the interview, I'd recorded the first 9 seconds. And it, do you know what? I was so nervous and it had gone so well. And I was supposed to only have 10 minutes with them. And we chatted for an hour and we had a really lovely time. And then they said, why don't you come to the gig tonight? Free tickets for the gig, all that jazz. I was so chuffed myself. I'd never done anything like it in my life. Never done an interview, never recorded anything. I mean, clearly still hadn't recorded anything. the first 9 seconds were like, hello, Neon Trees, welcome to the UK. And they go, hi. And then I say, how are you finding life in London? And that's the end of the interview.
That is
searing stuff. Paxman was quaking in his boots when he heard it. And do you know what? I also thought, I'm going to be sacked without realizing that no one takes student radio seriously at all. I thought I was going to be in so much trouble. Anyway, the interview was taking place originally at the gig venue, and it got moved the morning of the interview to Universal Records. And I was, you know, I was a humble, simple man traveling up to the Big Smoke with my pal. So I recruited a pal to come along with me. And we strolled up to Universal Records and said, we're here for the big interview. And they said, no worries, you're 2 hours early, because I'm always very keen for those sort of things. You can go and sit in the canteen. And so we shuffled over to the canteen. As I say, I was really nervous for this interview, never done anything like it before. I'd never been in a place like Universal Records before. And I went and sat in the canteen. The only other person, apart from me, was Take That's Mark Cohen. And John, I thought, this is it. I've made that. This is it now. This is my life from now on. I'm just going to be sitting in rooms with guys like Mark Owen. And he had a little coffee and we sort of smiled at each other. And that's kind of the end of the story, really. But I always, whenever I hear Take That's name, I always think of how starstruck I was by Mark Owen.
Aww.
It's pretty fun.
That's so lovely. What are we talking about? Oh, Howard's End.
I've got no idea what's going on.
Howard's End.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all about the war, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It's a book.
So, if it's about a war, could Take That be sort of like a...
It's not about a war.
Oh, sorry. What's it about?
For God's sake, John. It's about...
It's a romantic drama.
Someone falls in love with someone else. It's period drama stuff, you know?
So Howard leaves Take That because he falls in love with Gary's wife.
Wow.
Something like that.
I was going to say from a rival band, but I don't know if Take That really had a rival band.
What, like a member of the Spice Girls?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, there we go. Who would you put Howard with out of interest? Who would you match?
Well, obviously, I know Howard very well. look, Mark Owen could have any Spice Girl he wants. I saw charisma exude from that man and the way he sipped his cappuccino in the lobby of, I might have mentioned, Universal Records. So who would Howard? I think Howard's a Jerry man.
Fair, fair.
There you go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Right, would you like another one from me before we move on to our own?
Yes, please.
What about this one? Oh, I'm umming and ahhing between two that I could pick. Oh, what about this one from Beck? Umpire of the Sun. So we got planets playing tennis?
Planets playing tennis, that's good. Or maybe it's like, you know how in Armageddon,
Yeah.
The famous problem everyone has with Armageddon is that instead of training astronauts how to use a drill, they train drill guys how to be astronauts. Well, in this one, they decide to train cricket umpires how to travel to the sun and reverse the effects of climate change.
Yeah, I love it.
Because they've already got the hat to protect them from the sun, and they're famous for wearing lots of sun cream. So that's why they recruit them, right? It's that they're like, right, we need guys who are used to being in the hot, hot heat. Instead of, we need to, so the problem they have in Empire of the Sun is that instead of training astronauts how to deal with the hot, hot heat, they train guys who are good with dealing with the hot, hot heat how to become astronauts. And we fly 10 cricket umpires to the sun to try and cool it down.
I love it. It's an umpire tennis as well, right? I didn't get that wrong.
Yep.
What sports have umpires and what sports don't?
Yeah, which ones have referees?
You don't have a football umpire.
I feel like in lawn bowls, it's going to be an umpire.
I think there's a classism going on here. I think your posh sports have umpires.
Posh sports have umpires. Yep. More working class sports referees. You're not wrong. John, would you like this one from me?
Yes, please.
Big fish. Tom Hanks plays a fish that wakes up as a younger fish.
Yeah, I love it.
Tom Hanks plays a tadpole that wakes up as a big fish.
It's an adult body fish. And then there's an implication that he shagged a fully grown woman fish, even though it's the mind of a child. I mean, we all sort of...
Well, the mind of a child fish.
Yes, of course.
So it's as if Finding Nemo woke up in the body of...
Marlin? Yeah.
Marlin? Yeah.
Yeah, great. Love it.
Thanks, mate. It's been a weird one today.
It's been
What's really yours? Weird.
For context, Joel and I both realised before we started recording with about 12 seconds to go that neither of us had a movie idea of our own. So bear that in mind.
So I'm pretty happy with Big Fish.
Joel wants to know... I've got a panic process and Joel's got a panic process. And after the credits, we will discuss our panic film creation process. Right. My one is Craze. So it's like the film Strays that's just come out, but it's the London gangsters, but they're dogs.
They're doing voices of dogs. Surely they're better off doing voices of like London alley cats or foxes.
Yeah,
they're
true.
In East London.
Because you're planning on Strays, so we don't have to make them dogs.
Foxes keep me wide awake late at night here, and I am in Cray territory.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
For anyone who doesn't sort of live near London hasn't sort of heard foxes, I genuinely think the first time I heard them, I was like, wow, I cannot believe that is a real thing that is happening right now.
Yeah, I recently had it for about 3 hours. They basically got onto the little block where I live, and because it's totally pedestrianized, they were having an absolute field day. They were running riot. They were getting up to all sorts in every corner of it.
Their sort of yelping and shagging sort of sounds like a child being murdered. Not that I know what that sounds like, but definitely the first couple of nights I was like, do I call the police? And then you realize it's a fox.
Yeah, it really felt like, and then you just, so what do you do then? Do you call RSPCA? Do you call in a big cat? I don't know.
You call in the Strays, Reggie and Ronnie, they come in.
The Strays. Reggie and Ronnie, that's good stuff, man. They're Strays and they come in and they deal with your fox problems and they bully foxes and extort them. Nice. Well, John, you did very well there.
Thank you.
What would you say was your favourite film idea from the show? Did we even do any? I can't really remember
anything. No, it was weird. My favourite film idea this week was your Mark Howard story.
Mark Cohen. We've got to go because he's actually just popped round for a lovely cup of coffee. Well done, John.
Well done, Joe. Right, talk is
very strange today. The whole episode was a conversation about peaches and then a conversation about sort of maybe the third most popular member of Take That. And I realised that, do you know what? I was in trouble because I realised there wasn't an end to the story other than the fact that I was just sat next to Mark Owen.
Yeah, Joe, I think, look, we love you and
it's
respect
not my best
you,
story.
Joe. But yeah, I
it's
think
not
we,
my best
all,
story.
We all felt you fumble at the end of that one.
The problem is, the end of the story is the interview not recording. But that isn't a story about Mark Owen.
No.
Mark Owen is just a character along the way that we meet. I tried to reformat my story and I told it out of sync. I tried to sort of Tarantino my anecdote and tell it kind of back to front and it was jumping around. But then ultimately it had a very unsatisfying conclusion, which is I watched Mark Owen drink a cappuccino. What I really was trying to get across, John, is that I was in a whole new world of A-listers.
I get it. But yeah, I think...
I was in London.
Your problem was you said, I've got a good Mark Owen story, right? And then you went, side note, Neon Tree story. And I'm thinking, if this is the side note, the story's going to kill.
Damn.
On the subject of things not being bangers, what do you do when you have 12 seconds to go before recording and have no film idea, Joel?
I'm glad you asked. I Google films and then a year.
Oh, really?
Yep. So today I Googled films 2003. And that's normally pretty good. So I will do it from anywhere from like 1991 onwards, because I feel like I'm going to recognize most of the films there. So I'll go films 1998. So let's, like, I can talk, should we do a live process?
Yes, please.
Films 1998. And then I'm scrolling through. You're logging onto the Zoom and I'm like, fuck. And I'm looking at Dr. Doolittle. Okay, Dr. Doloads, yeah. Dr. Do Stuart Little, Dr. And then I go, right, films.
Dr. Strange
with,
Doolittle.
And then I Google films with Doctor in the title. And I'm like, right, Dr. Zhivago, Doolittle, Dr. Doolittle, Strange. And then that's kind of the process. And then that's how we get there. Oh. What about you?
I just go on the homepage of IMDb and look until I see a film that I've not done before. And this week it was Strays.
Nice. That's good, because yours are always going to be pretty modern and mine are going to be...
retro.
You know, retro.
Yeah, but then sometimes there's stuff like on the front cover, like there's this Prime movie called Red, White and Royal Blue. And if I make a pun on that, well, it's sort of like with Strays. I appreciate that's a sort of relatively big film at the moment, but it's not like everyone listening
to it. Can you believe they're still doing comedy talking animal movies?
Yes, I can believe it.
Oh, you can believe it.
No, but okay. I think they're sort of in on the joke that it's a sort of weird shtick for them to be doing in 2023, but I don't know. Yeah, it does seem odd, like jokes about like probably like shagging legs and stuff, right? It's going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about it that makes me think I have to see this film. It's going to be, the cinema is going to be just in rapturous...
Well, yeah,
applause and laughter.
Forget Barbie and Oppenheimer. Strays at the movies is the big experience for the summer. Have you experienced any popular culture recently that you'd like to share?
Well, actually, one thing that I feel like it's weird that we haven't mentioned, Joel, both of us, is the third series of I Think You Should Leave on Netflix.
Oh, have we not?
No, I don't think we
it's
have. It's
absolutely brilliant.
There's some incredible sketches on.
Some all-time sketches in there. The zip line, a personal favourite.
Pass it along at the fast food queue.
Really good. He's just the best. He is the absolute best. Like, I watched that show ad nauseum over and over again. I love it so much.
There's a really good one with Tim Heidecker where he plays his doctor who really wants to go into a nightclub that he can.
That's
get
really
into.
Good. The Driving Crooner. We all absolutely love the Driving Crooner. The Driving Crooner. When I first saw The Driving Crooner, I was crying, fully into it, like broke down into it. There's something about Tim Robinson's humor that just hits exactly the right spot for me. It's so good.
Someone said it and it's so accurate. If you see Tim Robinson, I suddenly thought he can't be called Tim because there's Tim Heidecker, but actually there can be two people called Tim in the same show.
There can.
The laws haven't been passed yet. If you see Tim Robinson in the background of a sketch, it's like in a Disney film where you see like a book that's slightly animated differently because you just know that it's going to move.
Yeah. God, he's the best. On that note, on humour that just hits rightly in the exact spot for me, the third season of Dave has finally become available in the UK. It's on Disney Plus. It came out in like April in America, and it's taken... I don't know why it seems to happen all the time, specifically with this show. It just, no one in the UK really seems to like pick it up. The first two series went to iPlayer at random times, and then the third series has appeared on Disney Plus. It's absolutely brilliant. Like, it's one of my favorite shows. I think it's so good. It's really funny, but it's also really beautifully shot and really well put together. And the cameos in series three are absolutely insane. It's
amazing.
It's like the most famous people in the world are in it.
I watched like a few episodes and thought, this is brilliant. And I don't know why. One day I'll sort of binge it because it was really good. Yeah, there's streaming. There are certain shows that were like enormous in America or a big deal in America that just sort of get lost on UK streaming. Like Station 11 was like enormous in America last year.
Yeah.
It was just sort of dumped on a streamer at some point. And yeah.
I don't get it. And like shows like, this might be, because this is also like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is a huge show, right? Absolutely enormous show. That takes months and months and months to appear on Netflix in the UK. It's very odd. I thought we were past those days.
I remember Peacemaker because I'm a big comic book nerd. Peacemaker took 6 months or something nuts to come to the UK. And I remember thinking, well, And it's tough, and it does sort of take the shine off it a bit, because you're like, well, the Americans.
The conversation sort of moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and like, I'd seen some of the cameo, like in Dave, I'd seen some of the cameos.
Yeah,
just by nature of like following him on Instagram, because obviously 3 weeks after the season finale's out, he's gonna post a little still from. You're like, oh, great. So yeah.
The other piece of pop culture that has been very much tickling my nostalgia is I bought a Nintendo Switch game last Friday called Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, and it is basically a 2023 remake of Jet Set Radio. And
amazing.
It is wonderful. It's very much sort of hitting me right in the nostalgia. So if you were ever a fan of Jet Set Radio, I remember as a kid I went on holiday to France and a family friend had a Dreamcast. I didn't have a Dreamcast. A family friend had it, and they had it. I remember playing it, thinking, this is the greatest game I've ever played in my life.
Jean, tu jouais la Dreamcast?
Pretty much.
Wait. Yeah. That's what they said.
All of that, word for word.
Prendre
is take.
What's I want?
Je veux jouer
la Dreamcast, hein? S'il vous plaît. Ah, wait. Jonathan.
A little bit forward. You'd say, est-ce que je peux jouer le Dreamcast, s'il vous plaît?
Ah, oui.
So, yeah, check those out and be nice to each other.
Oh, please. Keep trying. See you next week.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.